Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Jordan Roiburn, founder and editor of the Daily Gold. Now, Jordan, before we dive a bit more into the precious metals markets and prices, I do want to talk to you about U.S. markets and how they're relating to the precious metals, especially the underlying precious metal stocks. One thing that I have noticed recently that has also been outlined on the show by some of our other guests is that there's been a bit of a divergence here between precious metal stocks and how the U.S. markets have been trading. Very often, we have seen, at least over the last couple of years, a correlation where if the markets are down, so are the precious metal stocks. Recently, though, we've seen a bit more strength come into the underlying precious metal stocks. While U.S. markets are still doing well, the volatility they have seen and a potential top they might be putting in doesn't quite correlate over to the precious metal stocks. What have you seen between the relationship between the two?
Well, I think that, well, first of all, the relationship is always changing, and gold outperforming the S&P 500. This is something I've really been looking at the last couple of days. I'm updating my book, and I mean, this is just such an extremely important relationship. So that gold against the S&P 500. So I'll just say that, and that clearly, if you're looking at that ratio, I just did a quick video on this. There's two levels that ratio needs to break. You know, one is maybe 3 or 4% higher, and the other one's quite a bit higher, the second level, which I think is, I want to say that's the 2016 and 2020 resistance. And for precious metals to be in a real new secular bull market, it has to break above the second level. Like, when it breaks above that, we're in a new real secular bull market. If it can't do that in the next year or two, then we're probably going to be limited to like a 1 or, you know, 2 year, 18 month cyclical bull market, something like that. So I will say that off the bat, like, this is why this is so extremely important. Now, looking at the stock market, yeah, I mean, it's been trending higher since October, but it's really underperformed precious metals, which have also been trending higher since October. The issue for me with the stock market is, you know, I think up until the last week or so, it's really been following what I call a bear market template, where basically, if you look at a lot of the bear markets, the ones that are historically on the more severe side, they tend to follow a pattern where you have this first leg down, you have a bear market rally, you know, and then after that, it corrects a little bit more, kind of consolidates for a little while. You can call that part of the bear market rally. Then eventually it breaks down, and then that's when it really accelerates to the downside. And so that we're in the time window right now where the stock market should really be setting up for a downside acceleration. I'm not sure that's going to happen, at least immediately, because if you look at bread statistics from the stock market, like, they're way too strong right now to anticipate any real plunge, like, I think in the next month or two. Now, I could be wrong, you know, maybe those bread strength statistics is really fleeting. But, you know, at least in the last couple of weeks, you look at this breadth, you look at how the stock market's performed, it's holding up better than you would think if you were thinking this is going to accelerate to the downside. So it's going to, I mean, it's always interesting, but to me, it's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out in the next couple of months, because you have these technical indicators that say the S&P 500 could have a little bit more juice in this rally. And at the same time, you have all these fundamental developments, which are negative. If you look at all these statistics, you know, they're calling for a recession. They've been right 100% of the time in the last, you know, 30, 40 or 50 years. But, you know, the market seems to be pricing in a soft landing and not a significant recession. So those are my observations with respect to the stock market. I mean, and how this relates to precious metals is, if we are going to get some kind of a soft landing with minimal rate cuts, like very minimal rate cuts, I don't know how much, you know, I don't know how far precious metals can continue to run in that scenario. So that would be the negative scenario, where the Fed is actually successful in engineering a soft landing, and that, like, a lot of these people say, oh, well, they'll just keep rates here for you know, 2 years or 12 or 18 months, or they might, you know, cut a few times. I think that's the kind of scenario where, you know, we're not in like a real new secular bull market. That would be that kind of scenario. I still think the other scenario is more likely, where, you know, we are going to get a recession later in the year and the Fed will have to cut rates, you know, from 5 to 3% at least, or whatever. You know, in that scenario, then you have gold breaking resistance, you know, at 2100 or 2050. And I think in that scenario, making at least a move to 3000, that would probably carry silver to at least $40. So these are the scenarios that I'm thinking about. But yeah, and I lean towards the, you know, the more favorable side for precious metals.
Well, Jordan, we'll keep an eye on how things develop with the general stock markets and the relationship of the precious metals to the general equities. You're not the first person on the show that's mentioned that they're surprised that the general equities are holding up a little stronger and signaling possibly a little more short-term strength. But let's pivot over to gold. Gold has actually continued to do well this year. It's up at 1942 at the time of this recording. And one of the questions I wanted to ask you, Jordan, was, you know, for a while, a lot of people thought at lower levels that when gold approached that 1920 level, which is key on monthly charts, but also that 1921 or 1923, depending on which platform you use, was the all-time high from 2011, the previous all-time high. And there still was a lot of memory there. Even when we got above 2000, it would often go back into that 1920 to 1925 range. Are you encouraged that gold is not just approached that and got swatted back down, but actually approached that resistance level, gotten above it, and really held there the last couple weeks in the 1930s and now in the 1940s?
Yeah, gold's performance is definitely encouraging. I thought that this market would probably slow down around the 1835, 1840 level, which is a 50% retracement of the cyclical bear market. But of course, gold was able to go right through it, and it's continued to trend higher. Obviously, I mean, it's been, I don't want to say steady, because it's been, I mean, it's been a steady rise since the year began. But if you look at the chart, it has been a really sharp rebound. Another thing is, if you look at the chart, there is a potential inverse head and shoulders bottom on gold. If you go back to the first low in July, you know, before the kind of triple bottom on the daily chart around 1620, I mean, it's not a definite pattern, but I mean, that's why I say potential. But the price action just of the entire pattern, I mean, it looks pretty bullish to me. And so you could draw a neckline around 1820. And the I'm just looking at it now. Now you could also draw a second neckline. But looking at this before, and I mentioned this to subscribers in the last day, because I hadn't mentioned it before, but this pattern has a potential measured upside target of about 2020. So, you know, me always being conservative, in the last week or so, I've been saying, you know, 1950 to 1960, that's the next really stiff resistance. That's probably where this move is going to stop and reverse. However, if gold is able to get through that, then this 2020 target in that pattern could be playing out. So that's what I'm focused on now, to see if gold has enough juice to get to that point where it's almost coming really, really close to testing that old double top. So I would really like to see that happen in the short term, this move go above 1950, 1960, and get to 2000. I mean, the only thing that's really disappointing that would give me pause is, you know, silver just really badly underperforming. I mean, if you look at the price action, it has been underperforming for about 5 weeks now, maybe a little bit longer. And you can look at the price action and say, oh, well, this is a bullish flag for silver. Silver is going to break out eventually. But, you know, gold is up more than $100 since silver has been forming that pattern. So that's a real concern. However, you know, if you're looking at the recent candles in the miners, you know, GDX, GDXJ, the Huey, they're pretty solid. They're pretty bullish since the start of the year. I mean, you only have a couple of days of distribution. You look at the last, just looking at the last 5 days, including today, for GDX and GDXJ, these are all white candles where the miners are closing at the high of the day, each day. You know, today, looking at the SIL and SILJ, I mean, yeah, they've been lagging a little bit, but really strong white candles today and in the 3 days before it. So I think there's a chance this market has enough juice for gold to, you know, get to that 2020 target.
Jordan, can we take a look back at a longer-term chart? I'm on a 20-year chart right now, and there's no doubt that, let's say, 2003 up to 2011, boy, oh boy, gold just went almost straight up, except for that correction in 2008. And then it put in this U-shaped bottom, I guess we can call it, for about a decade, came back to those all-time highs, and now has, I guess, in a way, trended kind of sideways in a choppy nature, highs of around just under 2,100, lows down to 1,600 and change. What are some of the keys that you see on these longer-term charts? What stands out to you?
That's a really good question. What stands out to me is that, you know, you have this really significant base. You have this cup and handle pattern going back 12 years now. And it's one reason why I'm hoping we can see gold rally back to that 2020 target immediately, because in that scenario, the cup and handle, I mean, it's still viable either way, but we rally back to that resistance really close to the all-time high. I mean, to me, that tells you the cup and handle is really intact. I mean, it could be a little unorthodox, but I think that, let's just say gold can get to 2020, you know, and then at that point, maybe it corrects for 3 or 4 months or whatever. But I think gold being able to rally back to that point, especially after making kind of a double top, it's really going to change the psychology of a lot of people, and even generalist investors, where they can look at this chart and just think to themselves, if we see gold take out 2,100, it's really going to make a monster move. And I also think that, you know, gold, you can, on the, because I'm looking at the monthly chart now, you can see the clear false breakdown, you know, on the monthly chart where it broke below 1,700, you know, and a lot of people thought this was going to be like 2013. That didn't happen. Obviously, that's been completely reversed. We have three really strong white candles on the monthly chart. So that's another thing that stands out. And in addition to that, if you look at this cup and handle pattern, this handle consolidation, while a little bit unorthodox, there's two things that are really bullish. Number one, the handle consolidation is taking place above the bearish consolidation that we had in 2011, 2012. So, you know, and this gets to the point where you're looking at a cup and handle when the right side of the cup is actually slightly higher than the left. That's a sign of strength. So the pattern is more bullish in that scenario. In addition to that, if you look at this cup and handle consolidation, I'm just using a Fibonacci line here, the market, like in a legitimate cup and handle pattern, the market should really only retest 38 or 50%. Like at the most, like if the market falls below the 50% retracement, which is 1570 for gold, you know, that tells you that the pattern, I mean, it's lost a lot of strength, that it could take, you know, quite a while for it to eventually rally back to the highs and break out. But looking at gold, you know, other than for 1 or 2 months here, it basically, the consolidation, it was above the 38% retrace the entire time. And obviously now it's way above it now. So those are the things that really stand out to me. Just, you know, the cup and handle, it's still in effect. It's a little unorthodox, but the fact that the right, you know, this handle consolidation over the last 2+ years, for the most part, it's taken place, you know, at a higher level than that bearish consolidation in 2011, 2012. That's really bullish. And then the fact that other than a month or two, this has been above the 38% retracement the entire time, that's really bullish as well. And so, you know, and in weeks before, I mentioned, you know, you always have to throw in fundamentals, how, you know, gold in the last year, you had all these negative things. You had real interest rates, you know, rising the most that they've had in, you know, decades. You had the tightest Fed since the early 80s. The dollar made this massive move high. So all these things, gold dealt with that. They're basically behind gold now. And, you know, gold is now spitting distance within retesting the all-time high. So big picture to me, it looks really, really bullish. And then, you know, we have the market could be sniffing out the end of the Fed and having to cut rates later this year. So if we do get a worse enough recession where the Fed actually has to cut rates a couple percent, then that to me, gold is going to blow through 2,100 at some point this year.
Okay, some point this year. That's very optimistic there. But hey, gold's been on a good tear for almost 5 months now, 4 months at least. let's see if it continues, because hey, it's right in that over 1900 level, as you said, spitting distance from all-time highs. I think it's, yeah, if it can break those highs and also continue to rally, hey, well, obviously a good environment, but a lot still does depend on what the U.S. markets are going to do as well, I think. Jordan, thank you as always for your time. Great chatting with you. We'll chat with you next week.